That's gonna be, what a day that's gonna be, amen. And every knee's gonna bow, every tongue's gonna confess that He's Lord. And they don't have to recognize Him now, but they will one day. And it'll be too late. And so I'm thankful that for those of us that are born again, you recognized Him as Lord and Savior. And tonight we ought to rejoice. Amen. Yep, God's good. Amen. I think sometimes we need to tell our face that. God's good. Amen. And I'd be a little more excited about what God's doing. And sometimes we think, well, God's not doing anything. He's always doing something. We don't recognize it because we got too much junk and baggage attached to us. Amen. Turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 1 tonight. Proverbs 1. We'll begin in verse number 10. And again, I hear all the time people say, well, you know what? I don't like doctrinal preaching. I like practical preaching. Well, let me say this. Without doctrine, there is no practical preaching. And if people don't make enough of doctrine. You know what doctrine is? It's what we believe. And if you don't know what you believe, you're not ever going to have peace, because there's always going to be that struggle within us of what we believe is right. And we ought to take our doctrine, our beliefs from the Word of God, not our feelings, not our emotions. And then realize this, that when we look at the Word of God, it's as practical today as it ever was. And especially, I think, the book of Proverbs. The Bible said in Proverbs 1, verse number 10, again, Solomon writing to his son, he said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Now notice two things. Number one, we live in a day that people have this mindset that they don't have a choice. They'll say things like, well, they made me do it, or they pressured me into it. Well, according to verse 10, the Bible said, "My son, if sinners entice thee," notice this, "consent thou not." So it looks to me like you got a choice, right? Life is made up of choices. And so he goes on to say this, "If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse." Now, I want to preach on this thought, the proposals of the sinful man. And again, as we look at the book of Proverbs, there's a division. In other words, there's a comparison. And he uses oftentimes two women. One would be a pure woman, one would be the harlot. And so as we look at this in Proverbs chapter 1, as Solomon is writing to his son, part one of Proverbs was probably taught to Solomon by an instructor, one of his mentors. And we don't say enough about that. The Bible tells us we're to disciple those of us that have been saved for a while, that are more mature in the faith. We're to disciple those that are less mature. And we're to instruct them. Parents are to instruct their children. And as we see that, part one is divided into two sections, the way of the wicked and the way of the wisdom, or way of wicked and way of wisdom. And so, again, we have to make a decision. What are you going to choose? And I realize we live in a day, Brother Charles, where the wickedness of this world is always in our face. You can't turn on the TV, you can't turn on your computer without that wickedness in your face. But we have to realize that God has made us more than conquerors tonight, and that we have the choice to make whether or not we will fall to sin. Wisdom is personified in this scripture as a woman, and wickedness is seen as an immoral woman. And so when we look at the comparison, again, the Bible's practical in that it tells us, and Jesus did this with parables. He told stories of things that made sense to people. That's why a lot of the New Testament, when Jesus is teaching, is about sheep and shepherds and about farming. It's because it made sense to people. And so I want to give you just two thoughts tonight. Someone already said it looks like a short outline, and I'd rather preach a little shorter and give you some content that'll help you tonight than I would just preach a long time for wording. So two things. Number one, I want you to notice in this scripture the invitation. The invitation. Now, as Bible believers, we view an invitation as a good thing. As we preach have revival meetings, different things. We hold an invitation, right? And that invitation is to invite you to come and make a decision for Christ if that's what the Lord leads you to do, right? But all invitations, one guy said this, an open door is not an obligation. Opportunity is not an obligation, right? And so we look at this and we see in verse 10, the invitation. The Bible said here, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privily for the innocent without cause." And so understand this, that in this scripture, the writer, Solomon, is telling us that in that invitation that's given for us to sin, what the devil and uses people, let's be honest. Now, I know oftentimes here's what we do. We'll say, well, we're not to blame human beings. We're to blame the devil. The devil's behind it. But we need to understand something, folks. You have a choice. Devil doesn't make us do anything. He tempts us, but you make a decision what you will do, and I make a decision what I will do. So the invitation's there. The invitation is this, come, right? Come. And when we see that, it's an invitation to sin. And I realize this, just like God uses human agents, Satan uses human agents, right? And so we have to be very careful where we put ourselves. We have to be very careful when we accept the invitation of someone, and we have to look at the whole picture, right? And so an invitation may be given as a young person. Well, we want you to go out with us tonight. Well, that sounds innocent enough, but when you look at people, you have to determine if that is an invitation, if it's a moral or a pure invitation, or if it's an invitation to sin. And so when we look at that scripture, what Solomon is telling us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is we are to stay away from any invitation of wrongdoing. You may think, well, in my mind, it's not that big a deal. Doesn't matter in your mind or mine if it's a big deal. What matters is, what does the Word of God say? And if the Word of God says it's wrong, then we ought to stay away from it, right? Well, we live in a day, let's be honest. There's not too much clear cut what's right and wrong. In other words, we live in a very humanistic society that basically says this: if you think it's wrong, it's wrong. But if you don't think it's wrong, it's probably not wrong for you. It may be wrong for somebody else. Well, it doesn't matter what you and I think. What matters is, what does God say? And so the invitation for us to sin is always there. It's there at work. It's there at school. It's at the mall. It can even be in church if you're not careful. So we always have to be on alert and understand that the devil would want to have no greater desire than to damn people, but also to get us off track as Christians, right? And so as we see that, we have to understand what sin is. Sin means this: to come up short. Morally, such as thoughts, words, and deeds. So oftentimes, Brother Eddie, we think that it is, and we talked about this in the men's prayer breakfast, that oftentimes we automatically think of sins of commission, that we commit a sin. But sometimes we don't think of the sin of omission, that we don't do something we're supposed to do. So, you know, we'll say, well, I remember a man years ago, I was talking to him, and he said he'd been saved for a while, and it's when I first started pastoring the church, and he came to me, and he said, preacher, I know the Bible says we're not to lust. He said, it's not the first look that gets you, it's the second. And I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, so what if that first look lasts 10 minutes? And he kind of looked at me. And what has happened, let's be honest, is we've taken our theology from people. The Bible said if we look on a woman to lust after in our heart, we have committed adultery. It didn't say one thing about the first look or the second look. It said if you look on her, right? So it's not that you went out and committed the sin, is what many think, but the Bible here, when we think of the word sin, to come up short morally, such as thoughts, words, and deeds. So it's not just the deed, it can be the word or the thought. Amen? So the Bible tells us we're to guard our thoughts, right? We're to be very careful about what we think about. That's why our minds are constantly to be on Christ. And so the invitation is there constantly, and it may not be, Brother Kenneth, anything sinful, but let's be honest, the devil works in here. Amen. The devil works here, and so we have to be careful sooner or later that the invitation for us is come. And we'll see this in a few chapters, how Solomon is telling his son that you have to be careful of the enticing woman. And we know that in a practical sense, but as we look at wisdom and wickedness, we have to realize the devil is very good at what he does. And you may think, listen to me, young person, you may think that you're strong enough to withstand, but you have to understand that there'll come a time when if you're not careful, your flesh will win out. That's why we're not even to come close to accepting the invitation. That doesn't just deal with teenagers, amen. Fellas, can I be honest with you? You better be careful at work. Oh, I've been around the block. I know what I'm doing. You think you do? You with me? Can I be honest? The devil's taken down a lot stronger men than you and me. So we had better reject the invitation. The Bible said abstain from the appearance of evil, right? So the fact is, those that would invite us down the broad road of destruction, they don't care. You know what I found, Brother Jimmy? You probably have, many of you have as well. And I pose this to our young people especially. You think that you've got a friend. You think they care about you. But most of the time when they're done using you up, they'll spit you out and move on to the next one. The very people that cared about you, the very people that have tried to help you, you'll kick to the side because of a new trinket, something shiny, a shiny object. Say, well, I think I want to go that direction. That's the devil. And I promise you, because of our fallen nature, we have a strong draw towards sin. Now, I'm trying to be transparent and real. That's why we're not to put ourselves in those situations. We're not to accept the invitation when it's theirs, because left to ourselves without the protecting hand of God, listen, there's no telling what any of us would do. Well, I'm too strong. I'm too mature for that. Well, that's what Samson thought, right? So the invitation is come, and then we have to choose. Let me say it again, you choose. It is the right way. Hey, choosing right is not always easy in this life. But listen to this. It makes for an easier life. Let me say it again. Brother Jimmy, it's not easy in this life to choose right, but it provides for an easier life. Let's be honest. Most of our problems is not because we chose right. It's because we chose wrong, and now we're trying to dig ourselves out of the mess. It was a tough decision to make, to say, I'm going to do right, right? But the fruit of it down the road is easier than the easy decision up front and having to deal with the fallout. And so, I've been doing this a while. This isn't my first rodeo. I've seen what happens to people when they choose wrong. And that's what breaks our heart as pastors, is you're giving them scripture, and you know the horror stories, and you know the fallout that happens, and inevitably people look, Brother John, and say, well, that ain't going to happen to me. Why are you special? Huh? Well, I mean, what makes you better than some of the strongest Christians we've ever known? I'm just telling you, I'm warning you, and the book of Proverbs is warning us, Solomon is warning, the Holy Spirit is warning us through his word, that if you'll just choose right, every time choose what's right instead of what's easy or what's enticing, what the invitation, if you just decide, I'm going to choose what the Bible says, then your life is going to be easier. Sooner or later, we got to choose. Say no to the invitation of sin and say yes to the invitation of the Savior. It is better to choose a path of loneliness than a path with those who lead us away from the Lord. Let's be honest. The fact is, Brother Chris, is most people choose the wrong crowd because they feel rejected by the right crowd. But it's a whole lot better for you to live a life of loneliness Because even though you may be lonely, right? That's one problem. You get in with the wrong crowd, you're going to have a multitude of problems. You're going to have many things to have to deal with instead of the problem of loneliness. And if we believe the Bible, we're never alone, right? So we have to make a choice. You have to make a choice tonight, I do as well, that we're going to choose what's right and not what's easy, because the right choice leads to an easy life and the easy choice leads to a long life. So I have number one, the invitation. Number two is the incitement. Look at verse 11. If they say, all right? So Solomon's telling in verse 10, if you're enticed, say no. Seemed like there, when I was growing up, that was the catchphrase, wasn't it? You know, the anti-drug thing is just say no. Well, why'd we lose that? Verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. Notice this in verse 13. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Here's what he's saying. Ready? You see, first of all, the murder proposition. Now you say, well, I'm not ever going to commit murder. Well, maybe not. But you see, the pattern here is this. Solomon is saying this. They're saying, let us lay wait for blood. You say, well, I'd never get around people that would ask me to do that. But you'd get around people that ask you to do other things. That you know sin. And so sin knows nothing of moderation. You think it's a small thing. And what Solomon's doing, what the Bible's doing is going to the extreme, because let's be honest, sin leads to death. When sin is finished, it accomplishes death. And so we need to understand, folks, tonight, that although you think it's a small sin, it still hung Jesus on the cross. None of us know where sin will end up. You realize there's people on Skid Row. There's people sleeping under bridges. There's people in rehab facilities that spent time in an independent fundamental Baptist church, heard the Bible preached, but they made wrong choice. They basically accepted the invitation of sin, and here's what they said, just once. Just once. I want to try. Right? I just want to try it one time. I won't get hooked on anything. I just want to try it one time. I don't want to be the outcast. I want to be like everybody else. I don't want to be the only person in my class that goes to the wedding altar pure. Once you get started, it's a runaway train. So, young person, you think your mom and dad are hateful and boy, they don't want me to have any fun. You ever thought maybe they're smarter than you are? You ever think maybe they've been down the road before and know the pitfalls and know the danger, and they just don't want you to have to go through what they went through, and they don't want to see the scars that they have on you? You ever thought about that? Because if you're left by yourself, your flesh will tell you it won't hurt one time. See, sin grows until we will do the unimaginable thing. Whole lot better just to not ever choose that. Just don't choose it. You just don't understand, preacher, because you're old. You know what I said when I was young? You just don't understand, Mom. But she did. My grandparents understood, Brother Jimmy, because in their generation, they went through the same thing. Their parents understood. So you're not new to this thing. This is not a new phenomenon, that the temptation is there, and that kids and young people and even older people, let's be honest, we live in such a crazy day. You got You got people in their 50s and 60s doing stuff you wouldn't see teenagers do years ago. Sin knows no boundaries. It knows no limits. It doesn't stop. You think Satan cares about anybody in here? Then there's the money proposition. One guy said this, talking to him, he said, you know, the Bible said money is the root of all evil. I said, well, that's not exactly what it says. Right? It does say the love of money is the root of all evil. And let me say this, you can have $0 in your bank account and love money. And you can have $100 million in your bank account and not love money. Now, I know what we're thinking, but it would be a whole lot easier if I had $100 million in my bank account not to love money. But I'll give you an example. This probably won't, I think it'll go over just fine. You know what the lottery is? It's a tax on dumb people. I might win. No, you won't. You go to a convenience store, you'll see people do this, and they'll say, did you win? Yep. $10. They probably spent $500 to win $10. Now, you don't have to be a financial planner to figure out if you spend $500 to win $10, you're $490 in the hole. But you know what people want? They want a quick buck. I can put in $1, I might win $480 million. Or you'll just lose your dollar. But why do we do? Why do people do that? They don't have any money, but they love money. If I had $480 million, it would fix all my problems, because then I would have money not to give to the Lord, but I could buy my 7 houses that I want. I could buy my car and my jacked up truck and my sports car and all these things. That I, you know, it's hard to tell somebody that's got a 1977 Pinto with an exploding gas tank. And so you know what the invitation is? Come. This is easy. All you do is take $1 and you might win $480 million. Come. And that's not the only thing. Bernie Madoff made millions of dollars. You know why? Because people wanted something to get rich quick. There's no shortcuts. And so the allure of swift and easy wealth will cause us to do things we would not ordinarily do. People break into houses. You know why? Easy way. They think it's an easy way to get stuff. Good way to get shot and killed. But the allure is there. This is easy. I don't have to work 8 hours to get $500, right? I can walk into a house and take stuff that isn't mine, go sell it. There was a time you could leave the church doors open. I remember growing up, man, we'd ride our bicycles around the church, but I wasn't going up on them steps. And I sure wasn't going inside. Well, we've been robbed twice. You know why? Because they said church is an easy target. Ain't nobody living there. I can just break in there, steal their stuff. They ain't stealing our stuff. Stealing God's stuff. It takes a bum to steal from God. You ready for this? The people sitting in our churches do it every Sunday when the offering plate goes by. Oh, we'll run an old crackhead through the ringer because he broke in the church, but we got good independent Baptist people sitting in church pews all over America that don't give a dime in tithes and offerings. You know why? Because they love money. They love money. They'd rather have 140,000 channels on DirecTV than they would see a missionary go to the field. Am I still on? Because we were shouting when we was talking about somebody breaking in the church. But now, if we talk about robbing from the inside, we're not as excited about that, are we? See, sin will take us farther than we want to go. You know where it starts? Brother Robert, when we accept the invitation. We accept the invitation. We've all seen good people go down the wrong road. Now, they'll blame everybody. They'll blame everything and everybody. Young people, blame their parents. They didn't love me enough. They loved me too much. They didn't hug me. They hugged me too much. Too strict. Not strict enough. Husbands blame their wives. Wives blame their husband. People blame their job. People blame the preacher. People blame the church. People blame the devil. But the fact is, here it is. You ready? And this is what Solomon was saying. You're going to have a whole lot of invitations. It's whether or not you choose to accept them. And you know what I found out? If you say no enough, people leave you alone, won't they? But if you entertain it, the invitations still come. They keep coming. Here's what you do. Next time they invite you out for a night with the guys on Friday night, and we're going to go to the ball game, and then we're going to go out for drinks afterwards, and we want to invite you, and they ask you five times, and you always say stuff like, well, I can't go tonight. I've got other plans. They'll keep asking you. But if you say something like this, well, you know what? I appreciate you guys thinking of me, but I'm a Christian. The invitations dry up. Oh, but I don't want to do that, preacher, because what if I isolate them? What if they don't like me? Here's the one I like. What if I offend them and I don't have the opportunity to witness to them? You've been working with them for 15 years. You hadn't witnessed to them yet. You're probably not going to. Your testimony will say a whole lot more about you when you don't go than for you to make excuses so you don't look bad. You accept the invitation, they'll keep coming. You reject it a few times and give the reason, the real reason why, all of a sudden, they don't come anymore. You accept those invitations and you'll go so far down the road because sin has no boundary. It'll be a little more next time. And a little more next time. You don't believe it? Look at Solomon. Wisest man to ever live. Look at his life. He had David as a daddy. Man after God's own heart. He asked the Lord for wisdom to lead his people. He had money. He had more money than anybody else. You know what his problem was? Women. And it got so bad. Here's a man that said he loved God, Brother Jason, and because he had a problem with women, he's worshiping idols. And he'd let his wives build altars and everything else. You never thought of that about Solomon, wisest man. If the devil can lead the strongest man in Samson away, and the wisest man in Solomon, and the man after God's own heart in David. Can I tell you something? He's not going to have a problem with me or you. But we're more than conquerors through Christ. But we have to choose to say no. Let's stand together. Thank you. Let's bow our heads tonight. Miss Susan's come to the piano. Let's bow our heads this evening, and maybe the Lord spoke to your heart this evening. You just need to come get on the altar. Maybe tonight you've been given the invitation to do something you know is not right, sinful. The devil's subtle. He knows what he's doing. But you got to make the choice. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. Never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Tonight you can make a choice and say, I want to know Him as my personal Savior. If you'll come, we'll show you from the Bible how you can know you're on your way to heaven tonight.